Breaking news. I need to discuss this immediately. We finished concluding a Jamal Crawford Legend Spotlight segment, which DJ Benny Bull and I had a fantastic time going over and researching Jamal's storied career. And once we finished that, a breaking news article less than an hour ago was released. And this involves WNBA news. We got to discuss it. There's some more fun news DJ Benny Bull and I are going to talk about after we go to a upcoming WNBA game. We don't want to spoil anything about that. We're going to focus the episode on our thoughts and feelings of the game later. But this is more involved with player news. Legendary, I don't know if legendary, but she's had a storied four-time All-Star and a former MVP candidate in her WNBA career. She used to be on the Las Vegas Aces, a minor honor teams. Center Liz Campage of the Los Angeles Sparks has been terminated. She terminated her deal with the Sparks. They have parted ways. And it has been described as a contract divorce, which Liz herself elected. So she's packed her bags, heading out of LA, no longer on the Sparks, in her first season here. And there's been rumors and news that Liz Campage in the past has been difficult to work with. She's had issues in the locker room with multiple teams that she has been on. She's been on different teams, and she's had short careers in different teams due to leaving or locker room issues, so to speak. And at the time when she joined the Sparks, she mentioned that it was always her dream to play for the purple and gold and that she couldn't wait to be a member of the Sparks. But after not even the end of one season, their relationship is over. She's gone. And a quote from Eric Hulman, who is the managing partner of the Spark, he said, quote, "There's support that we share Liz Campage's decision to terminate her contract with the organization. We want what's best for Liz and agree to part ways amicably. The Sparks remain excited about our core group and are focused on a run towards a 2022 playoff berth." And for this season, her statistics, her stats, she averaging 13 points a game, 6.5 rebounds, 23.4 minutes per game before she left. And she has not played in the WNBA in certain seasons. For example, 12, 14 through 17, 2020 seasons, she didn't play in WNBA. She was in overseas or played for the Australian national team instead. And there's rumors and reports that she was involved in a physical altercation and verbal exchange in a closed-door scrimmage last summer, no longer playing for Australia. And she skipped 2020 due to COVID issues, and now she is gone. So Liz Campage, the center, leaving the Sparks, which is kind of odd to me that she's leaving now, because the team is battling for the playoffs. They have a losing record, but they are third in the Western Conference. They're battling, trying to sneak into the playoffs. And they're close to falling out of the playoffs, but with her, they could have tried to make it, but she's gone. And we'll see if they improve without her or the team just falls apart and has to regroup, rebuild in the upcoming years. And we'll see if she signs with a new team, or will her baggage, the rumors revolving around her, be too much for other teams to sign her? A lot of times players' skills can counteract that. someone very talented, skilled, legendary career that can get past the rumors or team's concerns. But I'm unsure, to be honest, at the moment, if she's going to be getting a new deal, at least this season. She may have to wait. Or even if she wants to play in the WNBA. There's also been talk of she's done playing in the WNBA and she wants to do something else instead. So we'll see. Keep you updated on this breaking news. Definitely something that I want to discuss because you don't see it in a lot of leagues often where someone leaves midway through the season. But that's been happening in the WNBA. This isn't the first player who elected to part ways. And that concludes this breaking news. Thank you. Welcome to episode 102 of the Bullhawk Sports Show. This is CJ Hawk, co-host of the podcast. This is a introduction for long-awaited continuation of our Legends Spotlight segment here. We covered legendary Charlotte Hornets player Muggsy Bogues last time, and now we continue with legendary NBA sixth man, former member of Clippers, Bulls, Knicks, among other teams, one of the most beloved Seattle sports stars, legendary NBA shooting guard and point guard, Jamal Crawford, on and off the court, embodied what it meant to be a basketball player, giving back to the community and helping his team win. And Jamal was a big fan favorite of Bull and I. We both enjoyed watching him. And DJ Benny the Bull was able to watch him for a longer period. He's been a fan of basketball longer than myself. He was able to watch him when he was on the Knicks earlier 2000s. I really only started watching Jamal Crawford and being able to see him for a longer periods when he joined the Hawks, which was like 2010, 2009. And since, that's when I saw him. Especially he was on Hawks and the Clippers, places I remember him fondly. And very excited for you to enjoy learning about Jamal Crawford, his legacy. And we really enjoyed doing this Legends Spotlight. We got a great feedback from fans and constructive criticism as well. But overall, people enjoyed it and we've enjoyed it. And if you have any suggestions for future sports stars, man or woman, any different league, could be from baseball, soccer, hockey, tennis, golf, NASCAR, any league that you wanted to discuss an athlete who you think definitely needs to be spotlighted, either legendary career, one that is lesser known, that still was very successful, under the radar, one who didn't get the limelight that maybe you believe, would greatly do some research on that athlete and let us know. You can find Bullhawk Sports Show on Instagram at Bullhawk Sports Show, Twitter as well. Those are two of the best places to reach us. So if you have any comments, let us know. Thank you so much and enjoy this Jamal Crawford Legend Spotlight, the second part in a new legacy we have here on Bullhawk Sports Show. Thank you. What's up, Bullhawk Sports Show acolytes? We are continue here on the Bullhawk Sports Show with episode 102. Episode 101 and a few bonuses have been released. Now we're moving on to 102. And we are bringing back a segment that we got a lot of great feedback about and we really personally enjoyed. We try to do segments we really enjoy, not ones that we think are going to get us like fame and fortune, more just ones that we enjoy. Yeah. And in case you're unsure of which one I mean, this is our Legends Spotlight segment. We did one on legendary Charlotte Hornets player Muggsy Bogues and Raptors, Muggsy Bogues. And that one we really loved doing. That was one of my favorite episodes of all time, to be honest. DJ Brian Bull would probably agree. And we're continuing on with episode 2 of the Legend Spotlights segment. And we're going to do a lot of these. The plan originally had been to do the Muggsy one and then like right away do some more. But it's been a while since we did that one. So we're starting with our second one now. And this one, very excited. I don't want to say his name yet because I don't want to spoil. But just to mention a little bit about him, he's known as one of the greatest six men in the NBA of all time. Seattle legend. Sixth Man of the Year award. King. Many other accolades as well. And personally, one of my favorite players in the NBA ever. And DJ Benny Bull is going to take it away right now.
Yes, I am still... Well, first off, it's CJ Hawk, and I am still DJ Benny the Bull.
That's right.
I am proud to introduce this player. He most recently played for the Brooklyn Nets in 2020. And so when everything happened, basically his career was to a halt. It's just coincidental. He is amazing talent and one of the best NBA players of all time. He is, we'll definitely use one word to describe him, underappreciated, undervalued. And so, yeah, this Seattle legend's name is Aaron Crawford. Better known as, to NBA fans around the world, as Jamal Crawford. Let's go. He is one of the best ball handlers in the history of the league. And as mentioned, sixth man, him alongside Lou Williams, fellow player, are the only 3-time NBA Six Men of the Year winners. So yeah, more about him, his background on his career. He played as shooting and point guard, and he was selected in the NBA draft back in 2000, a round one 8th overall pick, selected by the Cleveland Cavaliers. He has worn the numbers 1, 11, and 6. Typically, number 1 is assigned to, well, most famous one to us is Derrick Rose.
Yeah.
Bulls legend. And so Crawford had that too. And then a brief history of the franchises he's part of, but first we need to say that yes, he was selected by the Cavs at the draft, but then
right away, and a little bit more in depth of this, we actually watched a fantastic documentary
by Ball Is Life,
Ball Life, just before this video podcast, and it was called Jay Crossover, Jamal Crawford documentary. Crossover is king. A true role model.
Yeah, that's what CJ wanted to, meant. He got the king of a crossover.
And it was from 2014, so a little bit less than 10 years
dated.
Ago.
Yeah.
And it's not recent. Dated, not that dated. Though.
Recent, yeah.
And they mentioned that he was drafted 8th overall by the Cleveland Cavaliers, and he says at the time in the documentary that he had not worked out for the Cavaliers at all. So he was completely blindsided and shocked when Commissioner Stern announced his name for the Cavaliers. But he says that immediately, 15 minutes later, the reporter said, how did he feel to get traded to the Bulls? Because the Cavs traded him immediately to the Bulls for Chris Mim. So Chris Mim was heading to Cleveland and Jamal was going to the Bulls. So right away, traded. And that's where he spent the first 4 years of his NBA career, in Chicago.
Yes, from 2000 to 04, he was a Chicago Bull. And then, the Seattle native, 6'5", 200 pounds. He was one of the best ball handlers, as we said. And other highlights of his careers, of his career and awards include, like we said, but this from 2010, 14, and 16, Sixth Man of the Year. And then he was also named, this honor was given most notably to recent winner Jrue Holiday of the Milwaukee Bucks, others, Portland Trailblazer, All-Star, Superstar, Damian Lillard, one of our all-time favorites and current player. He was named the 2018 NBA Teammate of the Year. And that award is, you don't see many, they get profiled for, but he got that honor. You see it's missing is an NBA title, but he's definitely a champion. It's very similarly to Muggsy. Many fans' eyes, he's a champion in so many other ways, and you know, might as well honorary because he shined in every franchise, every team that he was a part of. And just to sum it up, outside of the court briefly, that he will get to more in a second, that he really helped the Seattle community, really dedicated, just like our previous spotlighter, spotlightee, if you will. And really helped train some of today's players. So he's big on giving back.
Yeah, and according to this article we read, it looks like his fourth year was when he suddenly got going. Like, that's when he got a big opportunity to start and come off the bench in big minutes with the Bulls. He started averaging 17.5 points per game. That's when he started becoming good, and sadly, he was traded right away after that. His first year, he was really good. He was traded to the Knicks. And just basically throughout his career, he either started as a shooting guard or came off the bench as a sixth man, as a vital position player. And he could score 20 points easily. He had many games scoring 20 points a game. Yeah. And from deep, he was a sniper as well.
Yeah. Let's shine a light. I know it's for him, I would say his best years, it'll go to, now you changed my mind, but I will actually stick to, based on statistics, they can probably be back to back, but yeah. His best years was with the New York Knicks. And then behind that is with the Clippers. And then there's other teams he'll be a part of. Yeah, whoever, if you want to list the other teams, but yes.
Yeah,
but like the fifth, I would say about his fifth overall best is with the Bulls.
Yeah, I'll mention.
So yeah,
I mainly say that so his best years with the Clippers because he played a big role on the Clippers teams that got to the playoffs. The Clippers had a lot of teams from 2012 to 2017 that made the playoffs and made it to the second round at least. And he played a lot of big roles off the bench, a sixth man with those teams. And
yeah,
he was on a good team when he was at the Clippers. A lot of the teams he was on, not Clippers and probably not the Hawks, stunk. A lot of teams he on, those teams weren't good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Overall, that's right.
Yeah, so let's see. The teams he played on his career was first the Bulls,
yeah,
then the Knicks, Then in 08, he was traded to the Warriors. 09, he was traded to the Hawks. 2011, he signed as a free agent with the Trailblazers. 2012, he was traded to the Clippers. 2017, he was a free agent and signed with Minnesota Timberwolves. In 2018, he signed with the Suns. 2020, he signed with the Nets, and he ended up retiring after his last year with the Nets.
Yeah, just to go forward, like his time with the Nets, they listed him as a substitute player. Yeah. But yeah, once again, he's sixth man, or is he more deep in that?
I think when he's on the Nets, he was a deep player, but yeah, of his career was sixth man.
Yeah, that's for sure. So I believe that's definitely something we need to note. And yeah, and then after he was done with the Nets and the NBA as a whole, he decided to move on. But yeah, let me see what caused his departure.
I think it was his injury.
Yeah, I believe he would have gotten it. But yeah, he's he got a really big win, not blowout, but a big putting up, 5 points up, defeat the Bucks. And then with that game, Crawford, I remember this made the news too, like he became the 29th player to play at 40.
Yeah.
And he also the 8th player to play at least 20 NBA seasons, and he joins the likes of Raptors legend Vince Carter, and then Supersonics legend, Timberwolves legend Kevin Garnett.
Yep.
Mavericks legend Dirk Nowitzki. And then as well as Lakers legend Kobe Bryant.
Kareem.
Yep. The one and only Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, Kevin Willis, and Robert Parrish, who we play in 2K kind of often.
Yeah. A lot of these guys we do.
Yeah, it's kind of cool to bring in the legends from time to time. But yeah, it's his final game. Occurred on August 4th, 2020. And yeah, Crawford did not play going into the 2021-22 season. He announced his retirement in March 21st, 2022. That was actually this year. I remember that actually made, the headlines too. And I thought, I was like, oh, where have we seen him play? And it's been quite a while, but he decided to. And as CJ Hawk mentioned, that it's due to injuries, just nagging injuries that, But since then, he continued his NBA career through being a broadcaster, commentator for NBA League Pass, alongside the legendary Quentin. What's his nickname again?
Richardson.
Quentin Q. Rich. Richardson.
Yeah, he was a good player in the Knicks.
Yeah. I know he doesn't get the limelight
much either. No, I liked him.
Yeah.
No, so overall, even though he was primarily known as a sixth man, he did that unbelievably well, Jamal Crawford. And I don't want to forget this. His work off the court, too, needs to be discussed. He has his own foundation, yes, and many children, families were helped by his charity and hard work and giving back to the Seattle community, among others. And even in the video we watched, the documentary, they talked about his good works and giving back to the community.
Yeah, he definitely looks like and is a guy who has a big heart.
Yeah.
wanted to give back, wanted to see his hometown of Seattle succeed, and anyone who wants to come over, take care of them as well. And I know they're not listed here, but right now let's just say about him, his working with his teammates from the Clippers. And yeah, I believe that's good for his work at Seattle, but he also had a hand in training / having those quote-unquote workouts, secret workouts with the likes of Zach LaVine and Kyrie Irving. Two of the best ball handlers in the entire league today. And he's had, as we also saw in the docu, he played in those Pro-Am Summer League tourneys games at the Seattle Pacific University, one of the most prestigious in the country. Admission is free to note. And then, so yeah, fellow All-Stars, fellow players, Chris Paul, CP3, and KD, Kevin Durant, have participated as well, as we saw in there. They're very young at the time. I mean, they're fairly, they're just reaching their, you know, pinnacle, if you will.
Yeah, and Jamal Crawford, one of the reasons we really love Jamal Crawford is A, he's a great player in our eyes, B, he's a great man, and we love to highlight people who were great on and off the field.
Yeah.
And he fits that mold.
Fits that mold. Yet he didn't get the limelight.
No.
He's definitely underrated.
But like, even they say in the documentary, one of the things that great about him is he didn't like love to seek that. Mm-hmm. He didn't be like, I want to be known as the most famous man ever.
No need
to. He didn't seek that.
No need to. He did his talking, though.
He did his great works and great community and charity, and then he got respect and acknowledgement for that, but he didn't, like, seek it out.
That's true. Yeah. Also, he didn't jump on too many teams, but he was part of some.
But when you're a sixth man who's a great player off the bench, you can find tons of teams that will love you.
Yeah. I believe with that, his in 99... Yeah, I mentioned he was a second team parade All-American.
Yeah, he was at the University of Michigan. He was a big player.
There. I almost thought that had to do with McDee's, but no.
No, he's a big player.
As big as that. Yeah, as the high school boys. And yeah, his career stats overall for points. And there's going to be more to come with this, but yeah, points overall, he accumulated 19,419.
That's
an average of 14.6 points per game. Rebounds, 2,948, 2.2 rebounds per game. And assists, 4,541. Unselfish, 3.4 assists per game average. Something you want to get to? I have some more.
Yes. So Jamal Crawford, those are his statistics. We like to talk about that. I wanted to mention what he did in the playoffs, because he did go to the playoffs a good amount, fair amount of times.
Helped lead.
And the team, the year that he had
one of the leaders,
the most points per game he averaged was in 2016. Six games with the Clippers, he had 17.3 points. And the farthest amount of games he went in the NBA playoffs was in 2015 with the Clippers, when they advanced 14 games. He averaged 12.7 games per... And though Jamal Crawford never was able to make it out of the second round of the playoffs, he was able to go there a fair amount of times with the Clippers and Hawks twice. So he was able to get to the second round, just could never get past that. It's not all his fault, of course.
Yeah, that's correct. Yeah.
He was on a lot of teams that were really bad. That's one of his issues, especially early in his career.
the Bulls included in that?
Yeah.
Yes, sir. Because would you call that like a rebuilding?
Well, once Michael Jordan left the Bulls for a while, they were really bad.
Yeah. MJ left by 2000.
Yeah, he's gone. Is that correct?
I know he came back, but that was not until 03, right?
They're really bad for a while.
On the Wizards, but yes. Yeah, he looked up to Jordan, actually. So, as the young player he is.
And the pre-Steph Curry Warriors were horrific, just like the Knicks.
Yes. But yeah, there's not much they put on for the Bulls with his time with the Bulls, but he...
they're bad.
He was definitely... he was promoted to shooting guard during his last year in 03 with them, with the Bulls. Yeah. And then just a little bit more. I know we did the intro for him, but yeah, he was part of one of his some of his best years with the playoffs, 2012 through 2017, whole time with the Clippers. And then he's one of the most underrated shooting and point guards of all time. And just a fun stat. Fact on him. This is per Stadium Talk I did a while ago when we're deciding to choose Crawford. I know we drop hints too, but yeah, he unlike the next player that we're gonna do in the near future, he was unranked, surprisingly.
That's right.
In the most underrated players of all time list. But yeah, we mentioned he has the most, we mentioned his overall points, which is amazing. He is the most all-time points by a non-all-star in league history. And he is first on there next to, let's say in order, and second, there's 19,000, a little over 19,200 to Eddie Johnson, and then Jason Terry is third, 18,881, according to StatMuse. And yeah, he was born in 1980, and this is more recent. It goes to show for his work in Seattle. He is one of the leaders that is hopeful for a team to restart in Seattle. So what that means is not necessarily bringing back the Sonics.
Yeah.
But it's to have a team back back there again.
I think so.
Yeah. They should, right?
It makes sense because I say that because Seattle has a lot of teams now with the Seahawks, Kraken now, Ola Rain.
Mm-hmm.
We all are the Seattle.
Oh, well, Rain.
Yeah, Rain. The Seattle Sounders, Mariners. They got a lot of teams there.
Yeah. Speaking of what can happen, this throwing it back to the beginnings again. After that, did you say this already? He was part of the Cavs trade.
Yeah.
To the Bulls for Chris Mim.
Yeah.
Who is not too known by myself included. Former Bull, yeah. so that's how he came onto the Bulls. A couple more. So Crawford, he remains the all-time NBA leader in four-point plays.
Yeah.
So in short, that means that he is the king of getting and ones. Shout that out, Candace Parker.
And one final fact that's going to blow you away. This fact is unbelievable. I didn't know this, but wow. On April 9th, 2019, he became the oldest player to score 50-plus points in an NBA game and also the first player to have 50-plus point outings with four, count them, four teams. Yeah, not one, but four.
Yeah, that goes to show the consistency. Like, that backs up, like, how good of a dribbler, handler he is. And three, on top, all that, he is an elite 3-point shooter.
Yep. As well. Sniper. So,
sniper indeed.
Yeah, this Jamal Crawford, Seattle legend, great man on and off the court.
Yeah. Yeah. You got it.
Six man legend. You could argue between who's the greatest six man of all time. Is it Jamal Crawford or Lou Williams? But
that another.
That's an argument for another day. We could do a debate still between playing, so. Jamal or Lou Williams later.
Yeah, we'll wait till Lou Williams is done.
On the top of my head, if you
is retired,
went to me and demanded who would it be, I would on the top of my head say Jamal, but that's me.
Yeah,
but Lou Williams is fantastic. So
yeah, oh yeah, he's up there for sure. Yeah, so now, yeah, at 42 years old, I don't have to ask this to you. Do you believe he could still hang with the best of today? I know he's not necessarily
like, I don't think so.
No?
I think he could, I guess, like, off the bench, like, in limited minutes, but I feel like, honestly, he'd be better served becoming a coach.
Mm-hmm. Which he's not yet.
He's not, but yeah. I feel like he'd be better served
but
being
a coach. But he's basically,
he could be a good coach.
Yeah, he basically is. Like, he's put together, like the future
I think he'd be stars. A good coach.
So.
At least good high school coach or...
Yeah.
College coach.
Yeah, so, yeah. One of the longest... I'm amazed, like, he shouldn't be, right? It's like, you can say he's under, you know, whatever. But, like, he's definitely, he's not what you call a journeyman. Not at all. He definitely overachieved, like, you know, whatever, from where he came from. Because we know Seattle could be, you know, it could be tough, you know, wherever you come from. Like, he was definitely, he had that look, but he backed it all up. Like, he's definitely easily one of the best of all time. A true inspiration for present and future.
Yep.
And players, just overall as a human. And yeah, Lab City, that's what they call it. Just an amazing representation for basketball as a whole. So much love to Jamal Crawford. Hopefully we one of these days if we run into him or if it's interview. The right time interview. If not, we'll just be able to meet him because he's a real inspiration.
And thank you for listening to this Legend Spotlight second episode of the series. We started with Muggsie Bogues. We now continue with Jamal Crawford. And if you have any suggestions, and it can be any sport. It doesn't have to be basketball. Yeah. But it can be any sport. Any suggestions, let us know. We'd love to consider it. Especially if it's a sport maybe we don't cover as much. Like, I have some soccer guy. Feel free to send us that. Well, we gladly look at it. So, thank you. Some
pick it up.
And enjoy the rest of your week here. Thank you so much. That is their conclusion of the Jamal Crawford Legend Spotlight here on the Blog Sports Show. We hope you enjoyed hearing about Mr. Crawford's legendary legacy as an NBA sixth man, tied with Lou Williams for the most NBA sixth man of the year awards in NBA history. There are people who debate between the two. Who's the greatest NBA sixth man? Is it Jamal Crawford or Lou Williams? I was thinking that this would be fun and definitely a good idea to put on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, one of those places, a poll, and you can comment on the poll, vote which one you believe. Do you believe it's Lou Williams or Jamal Crawford? And this is your opinion, of course. There's no right or wrong answer, but personally, who do you believe is the greatest sixth man? Is it the man we just discussed, Jamal Crawford, or is it a man that in the future possibly we could discuss, Lou Williams? Thank you. Enjoy the rest of your week.